And I wanted to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning. I'm going to continue in the series that I'm doing at the moment, Mission Minded. And we're going to open up at John chapter 3, which I'm sure many of you will know very, very well. John chapter 3, verse 1 through to 21. And it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? And how can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Father, we just commit this time to you this morning. Lord, we pray. We just welcome you. We invite you to come and speak to us, Lord God, this morning. We want to hear. Lord, we want our hearts to be open. We want you to speak to us. God, we want to hear your voice. God, we want you to touch on the things that need to be touched on. We want you to challenge us, you to inspire us, you to speak to us, you to move us. We just pray, come, Holy Spirit, and move in this place. We pray for anointing. We pray for, Lord Jesus, your presence, just to cover and saturate this time as we dig into your word. God, I thank you for the life that's in these pages. Thank you for the power that's in these pages. God, and I just pray that, Lord God, the life and power will be at work among us this morning. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So I want to paint a little scenario for you. A new guy walks in to your church and he wants to know more about God. He says, "I believe in God. I worship. I pray. I believe in Scripture. In fact, I'm really hungry to learn more about what Scripture says. I'm reading Scripture all the time. I can't get enough of it. And so I'm just in it all the time." And he says, "And I just want you to know, actually, so much so that I've memorized the first five books of the Old Testament." Okay, now, if you've ever read the first five books of the Old Testament, your brain's now going to be thinking, "What? Leviticus? You've memorized Leviticus?" Yeah, he's even memorized Leviticus. Okay, he knows everything that's in Leviticus. He's not skimmed it. He's not dodged it when it's come up in his Bible in 1 year app. He's read it. Okay, so thoroughly so that he can actually tell you exactly what it says. He knows everything that's written on those pages. After 18 years in ministry, I've never ever had someone come to me and say, "I've memorized the first five books, including Leviticus." Never even met anyone who's wanted to memorize Leviticus. But this guy, he's memorized it. That means this: if you were in Old Testament days, you wanted to know, how should I keep my hair and how should I trim my beard? He's the go-to guy. okay, you've got a house, you think I've got a bit of a problem with mold and mildew. What am I going to do about this? Do I scrub it? Do I clean it? Do I knock the walls down? Do I demolish the whole thing? He's the go-to guy. Who's the mold and mildew man? Go see Nicky. He'll sort you out. He's memorized Leviticus. He goes on, he says, not only that, he says, I want you to know I'm faithfully meeting with others who believe in God. I'm praying, I'm tithing, I'm fasting twice a week. And when you ask others about this guy, people say, yeah, we look up to him. And you find out he's a really well-respected member in the community. And this guy, he comes in, he says, hey, I want to know more about God. You're thinking, crikey, wow. He's doing all that. He says, I want to know more about God. And you're pretty sure you're going to say, do you know what? There's a place for you in our church. Come join our church. We could do with people like you. More people like you are believing, worshipping, Bible reading, faithfully attending, praying, tithing, twice a week fasting. Man. And one night, a guy comes to Jesus who was doing all of that. And Jesus said this. Nicodemus, here's the thing. You can't see the kingdom of God. And you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And several times there we see Jesus say, truly, truly. He's not stuttering. He's re-emphasizing the point. Nicodemus, I am really telling you the truth. And you might have a little note in your Bible that takes you to the footnotes. And it will say there that that in the Greek, you there is written in the plural. So Nicodemus, this is what I'm now telling you here is not just a message for you. This is a message for everyone. This is a message for all of mankind. Not just you. Nicodemus, you can't see and you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born in again. Unless you are born again, sorry. So you. So Nick, not just you, but everyone needs to believe me when I tell you what I'm telling you today. See, people think that stuff that you're doing is what it's all about, but actually none of that stuff, Nicodemus, anybody, is what saves you. None of that stuff is what deals with your sin and brings you into a right relationship with God. None of that stuff is ultimately what makes you part of God's family. None of that stuff is actually what gives you eternal life. None of that stuff is actually what gets you into heaven when this life is over. Verse 7, it's this, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. If you're going to underline anything in there, underline the word must. Not Nicodemus, you should consider being born again. Not Nicodemus, you might want to weigh this up. Nicodemus, not should be. You must be born again. Friends, people's greatest need is life, not religion. The greatest need is life, not religion. As I do this third part of the series, that's my message title today. The greatest need is life and not religion. See, as we head into this Our Story mission, we're not looking to introduce people to religion. We want them to encounter life. We want them to meet the one who brings life, who gives life, who can cause them to be born again. And Jesus says everyone's greatest need is life. And you know, God just reminded me recently about how we can limit the gospel by judging books by their cover. How we often do it, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I think if we're being really honest, you know, when we're often thinking about who can I share the gospel, we're looking for some kind of like angle or some very obvious kind of need, or, you know, if you're limping, you're in for it, I've got an angle to come in with the gospel, or whatever, you know, something like that, and kind of that's how we're kind of weighing it up, and I fall into the trap, and I want to be really honest with you, and me and Rick went out on the streets just over a week ago, and we said, let's go out and we'll chat to some people, and my brain automatically gets into the who looks needy mode. Do you know what I mean? But what Jesus says is everyone's needy. You all need to be born again. But we get into the needy mode. Who looks like a prime candidate for someone I can share the gospel with? And so what happens is, as we enter into the walks, you know, we meet this sort of sweet, I thought, elderly looking lady approaching us, and her hands were the bluest hands I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I thought literally she looked like she was part Smurf. They were that blue. And as she came towards me, I thought, oh gosh, there's some medical need there. Yes, here we go. Here's an opportunity to sort of come in. She looks nice and she looks friendly and I can see a need and I'm going to have an opportunity now to share Jesus. And we approach this lady and we say, oh, you know, and we're just out from a local church. And she says, don't talk to me about that. And we said, well, no, we're not here to. And she just turned around and she says, I said, don't force none of that stuff on me. Like this in the middle of the walks. She wasn't a sweet elderly lady. Even if she was a part of Smurf, she didn't want us to pray for her. Okay. So we leave that lady feeling really built up. We leave that lady, we're walking across, there's a man blowing leaves as he's coming across. And I think he looks a bit needy as well. He's just got that needy look about him as he's blowing leaves. You know what I mean? And we approach him, no mate, not interested, not really. Oh, this is a great day sharing Jesus, this is. And we leave and we go like this and I'm getting a bit disheartened and you know, we met a couple on a bench and they mocked us, really strongly mocked us, led us along, told us things, and then just mockery that was coming out. And, you know, I'm just like, okay. So we leave that. And just the sense that God wanted us, both of us, sense that God wanted us to go up towards the college. And this guy comes along, he's a trendy young guy. He's got his hood up. He's got, I think he had headphones in. And he comes along and I thought, I ain't approaching him. You know what I mean? He's too normal looking. He's too cool. He ain't going to want to listen to what I've got to say. Come on, let's be honest. No. He's going to reject me. He's going to like that. And, Rick goes for it. I'm like, oh, Rick, what you done that for? Good on you, mate. That's great. And I'm like, oh, okay. And this guy, you know, we start talking to him. And we're just chatting. And this guy he's 19 years old. His name, I won't say because I'm believing that I'll see him again, but I don't want to embarrass him, but he just begins to open up. And as he opens up, I said to him, you know, can I just tell you a little bit of kind of my story? And this guy, his nan has suddenly died a couple of weeks ago. So what's going on? Like, my nan suddenly died, he says, and my world's like falling apart. She's my mum. She's raised me. Like, I've lived with her and I'm totally broken. And I said to him, oh, let me just tell you a bit of my story. And those of you who know me, that you know, a big part of my testimony is about the sudden death of my dad and stepmom. And God opened the door and we shared Christ with this guy. Prayed with him at the side of the road, outside the college. People are having to step around us. We put our arms on. He threw his arms around us. And we stood and just prayed with him. And we exchanged numbers with him. This guy was so open. And we crossed the street. And again, this other woman, I said, we're just talking to her, and she says, oh, she says, and just off her own back, I hadn't even said anything. I said, you know, what's going on in your life? Tell me. She said, oh, this person's died, and I'm afraid to get close to anyone, and this person's just suddenly died, and my brother's hung himself. I said, oh, let me just tell you a bit about my story. You know, and these are people who, when I saw them, you might not think, oh, you know, and I might have passed them by, but there's people out there who need to hear our story. There's people walking the streets who, I use this guardedly, but you might not look at them and think like they look like they're going to be interested, but you don't know what's going on. And you know, I don't think many of us would have actually, if we were out on a day street witnessing, would have gone for Nicodemus. Because actually, he didn't seem to have any major external issues in his life on the face of things. He was quite an altogether guy. He was a well-respected member of the community. There's no big issues that seem to be there. He wasn't poor, and he wasn't an atheist. But he still needed life. You must be born again. And you know, so often, if we're honest, the message and the focus is often upon God saves those who've bottomed out and whose life has fallen apart. Now, do I believe that's true? 100%. But friends, there's a whole other group of people out there who still need Jesus and still need life. And what we see is that Jesus, he loves and pursues people from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich. And to him, it doesn't matter whether you're here or somewhere in between. The big question of life is this. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? And so when he comes to Jesus, actually, he's quite complimentary. He's quite open. He says, actually, do you know what? We've been having a bit of a get-together, me and the boys. You're doing some pretty far out there miracles. I mean, that stuff that was going on over the Passover feast, Jesus was like, whoa, supernatural stuff that we're seeing going on. And it makes me smile because Jesus just like cuts him off and seems to like cut right to the chase. He ignores it. You know, maybe if that was me or you, we might think, well, I might just enjoy this a little bit. Well, thank you. Which one did you like? You know, I think the Passover stuff was pretty cool, but you know what? The water in the wine stuff was next level, hey? High five for that. You know what I mean? But Jesus is not actually, because what am I saying this? I'm having a bit of a joke here. What I'm saying is, see, the most important thing is, friends, miracles are fantastic. Healing and signs and wonders is beautiful and wonderful, but the greatest miracle of all is salvation. And actually, he's cutting right to the chase and saying, look, it's great that you've seen that stuff, but the most important thing is, Nicodemus, you've got to get born again. You must be born again. You need to be saved. So if we want to see people saved and added to God's family and go into heaven as we go into this, and not just this, but beyond this, that is the big question. Everything is hinging on that question, are you born again? So as we head into mission, when it comes to reaching people, this is what we need to be believing for. This is what we need to be praying for, that we want to see people born again. I'll say more about what that is in a moment. We don't just want to come out of this with an increased church attendance. We don't just want to come out of this with a sense whereby we've got people just trying in their own effort and energy to do the right things and be the right kind of person. We want to see people born again. We want to see people saved. We're not looking to sell religion. We want to bring life. We don't just want a bunch of people trying to do their best. We want to see lives transformed. Amen. We want to see new life come in. And you know what, friends, I just say this. You can have been in faithfully in church or raising a Christian family and doing all the stuff and ticking all the boxes and reading your Bible and praying and fasting and doing everything else, but not be born again. And Jesus says you don't get born into this. You must be born again. You're born into your natural family, but you have to be spiritually born again to come into God's family. And so the big question is, well, what does that really mean? What does it really mean to be born again? Because, I mean, there's a lot of confusion around what it really means. Because, I mean, when Jesus says it, I mean, Nicodemus is confused, isn't he? In verse 4, you know, how can a man be born when he's old? And how can he enter a second time into his mother womb and be born? Have you ever tried to share, here's a challenge. Have you ever tried to share Jesus with someone and found that you're really struggling for like all the classic kind of phrases and that we use so easily in church, and we all know what each other means. And the minute you go and try and share, you're like, and you're trying to find the words to describe what you want to say. Because you know, and I've seen it, and I saw it just recently, you say it to someone, no, you've got to be born again. They're like, what? What is born again? What does it mean to be born again? And that's where Nicodemus is going, pardon, Jesus? What do you actually mean by this? I mean, Jesus, you know, I'm big. And mum's old, and this is going to be a really awkward phone call. You know, mum, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're going to have to do this thing again. And can you just apologize to dad? Thanks, see you later, bye. You know, it's kind of like, that's where his head is. That's what he's thinking. But the point is this, no one can cause the new birth that they need. Nicodemus, you can't cause this. You can't make this happen. As people, as we encounter people, there's nothing that they can do. There's nothing me or you could do to get ourselves born again. There's nothing that could happen that causes the new birth that we need. Theologians call that regeneration. And regeneration is actually entirely the opposite of religion, because religion says, here's what you should do for God. And regeneration is, here's what God does for you. How many people know this? Regeneration is way better than religion. Here's what God does for you. That's the heart of the gospel, and that's why it's way better. See, the truth is, there's no life in religion. That's what he's saying. You're doing all that, but Nicodemus, you did. You did. You need to spiritually come alive. Religion leaves people feeling lifeless. Religion is spiritually dead. Naturally speaking, he's saying, Nick, you know, naturally speaking, you're alive, you're breathing, you're thinking, you're feeling, you're acting, but spiritually, man, you're dead. And not just you. But everyone, until they come to me, is dead. And dead people can't do anything about their situation. And so Jesus begins speaking to him. You know, there's birth of the water and of the spirit, and there's that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and there's that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And he's saying there's this physical birth, but there's a spiritual birth, and that's what we need. That's what people need, this spiritual birth. The New Living Translation says this, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Nicodemus, you've been born. You're physically alive, but there's no spiritual life in you. And more religious activity and more effort and more energy is not the answer. Nick, you need life. You need to come alive in God. You need to be added into God's family. You need to be born again, not physically. Nicodemus, you know what? You know what? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, only I can do for you what your greatest need is. I can make you alive. I can forgive your sin. I can bring you into God's family. You need to be born again. Some versions say you need to be born from above. John 1 verse 13. To all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How? Come on, say it with me. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, verse 14 to 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus, people need to know this. It only happens when you look away from yourself and you look at Jesus and who he is and what he has achieved on the cross through his death and resurrection. We are born again when we trust in him and the work of his death and resurrection. And in that moment, when a man places his faith and trust in him and he gives him control, then and only then does new life come rushing in. New life that changes. New life that transforms. God causes it to happen. So Nicodemus, yes, I know you're impressed by the amazing supernatural stuff and the miracles, but above all that, you need to be born again. It's not enough for you to stand there and just admire the supernatural work of God. You need to experience the supernatural work of God on the inside of you to bring you alive. Friends, there is no life apart from Jesus. This is the message that we need to proclaim. 1 John 5 verse 11 to 12, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Try and wake a dead person up. Try and get them to understand. Try and get them to hear. Try and get them to see. But there's nothing there. Only God can bring a man or a woman alive. You know, sometimes people ask, well, how do you know when someone's been born again? Or, how do I know I'm born again? Any fellas here ever had that moment when someone asks you in the presence of your wife when you got married and how long you've been married for? And the cold sweat comes. Because you're thinking, when was it? What was the date? How many years have gone by? And you know your wife's standing there beside you and she knows the exact date. She knows how many days, weeks, months, years have gone by. And you're thinking, oh boy. Or maybe you're married and you've forgotten your anniversary. Anyone ever done that? Some members of our family who we've sometimes text say happy anniversary, and we've had replies like, oh, is it today? They shall remain nameless. You might not always remember the date, because you might be a bit like me, and I'm not that great with dates, but you don't forget the event. See, life radically changed that day when you got married. Not just in the sense that you now had to share remote controls and duvets, but in the sense that life was radically different when you got married. There was an evidential change to my life, a notable change when I got married. What is the evidence of salvation? It is a radically changed life. That's what we're longing to see. See, actually, I cannot tell you the exact day I got saved. I know people who can. And that's great. I cannot actually tell you the exact day I got saved. Largely, as I said earlier on, because I'm not that great with dates. But I can tell you this. I've never forgotten the event. I've never forgotten what happened when life came rushing in. You see, you ask some people, you know, are you saved? They say, oh, I think so. I'm pretty sure. I'd say I am. And then you say, well, when did you get saved? And they say, well, that's always been a tough one for me, you see. It could have been when I was 7 in kind of kids' work, or maybe 15 when I was at that youth camp, or maybe when I was 25. 15 or 25, I'd say 15. No, 25. And you're thinking, oh, something's kind of missing there. Just liken that again to marriage with me, if you will, for a moment. Just bear with me. You talk to me after the service. You say to me, Daryl, are you married? I say, well, yeah, I think I am. Yeah, I'd say I am. Yeah, I am. You think, man, something's not right. How does this guy not know if he's got married? And you say, well, when did you get married? I say, well, that's always been a tough one for me. It might have been when I was 7. It might have been when I was 15. It might have been when I was 25. No, I know I'm married because my life was totally different, is totally different, and radically changed from what it was like before. The evidence of a born-again life is radical change. God comes in, he changes your life, he changes your hearts, he changes your priorities, he changes your plans, he changes your desires, he changes everything. He comes rushing in. And in verse 8, it says this, it talks about the wind. In verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Holy Spirit. I can't see the wind, but I see the effects of the wind. I see the effects of the wind, I hear the effects of the wind, I feel the effect of the wind as I feel its pressure upon my skin. I look in the trees, I see the wind that's there when Storm Doris blew through and I came home to find my back fence decimated. I knew the evidence of the wind. The power of the wind, the dust that was kicking around, what I could see. Can I physically see God now? No. Can I physically see the Holy Spirit right now? No, but I do believe you see the evidence and the impact of God and the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Transformed lives. We're a room full of transformed lives. As I look through that book that, you know, like when Wendy produced the first copy and just said, you know, here, have a look, this is what it's going to look like. As I read through it and I read through it, there's just page upon page of people who have been transformed by Jesus Christ. People whose lives are radically different because new life came rushing in. Think of all the testimonies that are in there. I think of all that God has done. My mind goes back to a recent conversation that I had with Joe, you know, when he was telling to me about being on holiday, just talking to me about being so hungry to read God's word. And, you know, prior to that, holidays were very different and the focus of the holiday and what you wanted to do on holiday. But he's just saying to me, you know, I just wanted to read the Bible. I just wanted to know what God wanted to say to me and what God wanted to do. That's the evidence. That's the impact of God in a man's life. You see, if you had said to me before, do you want to come to church, Charles? I'd have said, no, thanks. No, I'm not really interested. I don't want to go to church. But do you know what happened when I got born again? I wanted to go every Sunday. I'm thinking, what's happened to me? My plans, my purposes, everything, my priorities changed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I was a different man. And I knew it without doubt. Not a change that I brought about, but God brought about. He changed me. He changed my heart. All I did was give him control. And he makes us, friends, a new person. A new person. He doesn't just say, hey, we're going to make you an improved version of you. We're not just going to make you a forgiven you. We're going to make you a new you. A new person. A transformed person. A new way of seeing and thinking and valuing. Did anyone else find that when they got saved? All of a sudden, things that used to matter didn't matter anymore. And what didn't matter did matter. You know, there was a day when I could go into a supermarket and they could accidentally give me too much change and I'd walk out chuffed to bits. It happens now, and even if it's 3p, it's going back up to the counter because I can't do it. What on earth has happened? New life has come rushing in. That's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you're born again. I just close with this. I saw a really simple illustration the other day. It's not mine. I saw a simple illustration the other day of a guy using a pen. And he said this. He said, we're all born going the wrong way. How many parents here know they've never had to teach their children how to do things that are naughty and wrong? We're all born going the wrong way. So we're all born kind of going this way. So we're all born going the wrong way. That means we're all naturally headed to hell. I'm sorry, I apologize if you're sitting on this side of the meeting today. Okay, don't take this personally. Okay, but this is hell. No easy way to say that, but just bear with me. Okay, and this is heaven. Oh, didn't it sound great in heaven? I mean, I thought it was meant to be a party up there, not like, oh, so good here. All right. Okay. So we're all heading in this direction. We get told about the right way. We might hear about the right way. We might find the sound of the right way quite appealing and think, actually, I'd like to go the right way and I'd like to try and do some of that sort of stuff. And so what we do is we try in our own energy and strength, going to turn my life to go the right way. And we put pressure on, but how many people know we all fail, we all muck up, we all make mistakes. And no matter how hard we try, we can't turn it. And so we're still going the wrong way. But then there's a day that comes along. There's a day when someone hears about the message of one who loves them, who died for them, who shed his blood for them, to forgive them of all their sins, everything they've ever done wrong, to decimate and destroy all the gap that currently exists between God and man, to bring us together, to bring us into relationship, to cause us to know his love, to welcome us one day into heaven. And God reaches down into the heart of that man and he flips the pen. And God's done it. God's reached in and he's flipped the pen. And now all of a sudden my life's going this way. I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. And it's not anything I've done, but it's something that God has done in my life. My life's been transformed. Before, my default is do the wrong thing. Now my heart is I want to do the right thing. And all eternity, Jesus says, hinges on this question. Are you born again? Because friends, the reality is, if we've not been born again, and our life has not been radically changed, the sad news is, we're heading this way. But because God loves us, he's ready to reach down into our heart if we'll give him control and turn us this way. And it all hinges on that question. You must be born again. So it's not based on whether I'm curious, like Nicodemus, whether I'm open or complimentary, whether I'm reading my Bible or attending church or tithing or fasting. Nowhere does it say, as I read through the pages of my Bible, if I do any of them, that's enough. Enough to get me forgiven, enough to get me saved, and enough to get me into heaven. No, I need new life. Andy, I wonder if you just come, just play for me, just something in the background. Amanda, feel free as well. But we need new life. And actually, as we head into this mission, friends, the people outside of our doors need life, not religion. And we can't save anyone. That's the reality of it. In verse 8, you know, the wind blows wherever it pleases. I can save someone no more than I can make the wind blow. I cannot do it. It's a work of God. It's up to God. I can't make anyone saved. I can't make anyone get born again. But what I know is, as I've been sharing this series with you, what I know is this, that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus' mission is our mission. Okay? And that mission is not to offer people religion. It's to offer them life. Life. It's to see lives transformed. It's to see people saved. It's to see people born again. And that's what we're believing for. And you know, as our story launches, one thing I know is this. You know, no matter what, God's love is enough for anyone and everyone. For God so loved the world. That just hit me again afresh lately. The world. That means without distinction or exception. Not a section of, but the world. That means every man or woman who's on the face of this earth, no matter who they are, where they've come from, what they've done, God loves them. And he gave his only son for them. Without exception, without distinction, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So if God's heart is to reach out, and God's heart is to reach out with love without exception and distinction, and to offer new life, as we enter into these 12 days of mission, that should be our heart too. Jesus, we want to see people born again. Amen. We want to see people saved. We want to see lives transformed. So why don't we just bow our heads for a moment? You know, maybe you're here this morning, you say, actually, as you've talked this morning, no, I'm not. I just admit, I'm not born again. You may have been in and around church. You may have been in and around religion. You may have been in and around, not even religion, but a godly Christian family, and you've raised in that environment, and this is what you've always known, church and everything like that, but you've never really actually experienced that moment when like new life has come rushing in and it's just changed and transformed your life. I think it'd be amiss of me not to say, is there anyone here this morning who wants this new life, who wants this assurance of sins forgiven, who wants this assurance that one day they'll go to heaven, who's ready to trade in this old kind of broken kind of life for a new one, full of hope and love and brightness and promise. It's not easy, but it's a lot better with Jesus. So, you know, if your head's bowed, if you just say, yeah, I want that. I hear that Jesus is just saying to my heart again, I need to get born again. Just put your hand up where you are and I'll acknowledge that and I'll pray with you in a bit. Just, you know, it may be that everyone's there. Praise God, but it'd be silly of me and wrong of me to not give that opportunity. So with eyes closed and head bowed, just slip your hand up if that's you this morning and I'll pray with you at the end. Is there anyone? I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to hang around. If it's not, that's cool. Okay. No problem. What I'd like us to do, just to finish, stewards, can you, I've prepared or let them know in Shakers and in Creche, I forgot to mention to Shakers Plus actually. But if they could just join us, because I'd like us just to pray one time together before we go into this mission. Praise God. Okay, just while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I can just see a hand up and I'm just asking, is that a response to the message? If it is, just lift it a little higher for me. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. That's what we live for. That's what we live for.